The good news of God's love according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus continued his sermon saying, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount by announcing God's blessing on the poor, the marginalized, the oppressed, and those who stand in solidarity with them. Now, he goes on to say that these people have been blessed by God so they can be a blessing to others. God's blessing of the world will flow through them as long as they don't get in the way. He doesn't say, try to be the salt of the earth. He says, you are the salt of the earth. So let the earth experience your saltiness. When he says, let your light shine, he's actually speaking to the light that is within us. He just tells us not to hide that inner light, but to let it shine out into a dark world. Know that you are a precious child of God. Know it at the core of your being and let that knowledge transform you so that you can guide the world from a place of darkness, oppression, and fear into the kingdom of heaven that you already possess. You don't have to try and enter that kingdom through your personal righteousness like the scribes and the Pharisees, because you will be creating that kingdom for others. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to bring all of their wisdom to fulfillment in our lives, so that all of God's purposes for the world can finally be accomplished. God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. That truth is repeated again and again in the pages of the Bible. The book of the prophet Isaiah was written from a conviction that the people of Judah had endured 70 years of exile in Babylon as a punishment for their failure to live as God's people, demonstrating God's justice and God's righteousness to the rest of the world. Their miraculous return from exile was understood as God giving them a second chance to create a just and compassionate society. But today we heard that once again, it seems the people are failing to do that. Those lucky enough to have a little wealth are exploiting and abusing their neighbors to amass even more. The prophet imagines a conversation between his people and God, much like that imaginary court case from the prophet Micah that we heard last Sunday. Isaiah's conversation is about the perception of God's presence or absence in the circumstances of our life. God is always present, but we do not sense it when we have strayed from God's ways. The people of Judah imagine that their fasting and acts of humiliation will somehow draw God closer to them. God says that they need to remove all oppression and injustice from their communities if they want to sense God's closeness. To truly seek the Lord is to seek justice and righteousness for the poor and the oppressed. You can't have a relationship with God if you do not live in a relationship with the most vulnerable of your neighbors. The fast that Isaiah calls for is a fast from privilege and indifference, not as a one-time event, but as an enduring way of life, not the occasional act of charity, but a complete restructuring of society in order to bring life to all. Then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. Psalm 112 agrees that God's light shines whenever we turn our attention to our neighbor. The psalm recognizes that instead of seeing God's laws as a burden, there are people who take delight in following God's guidance. They are merciful and full of compassion. They manage all of their affairs with justice. Those who oppress and profit off of the marginalized and the vulnerable are described as the wicked, who will gnash their teeth whenever righteous people take care of their neighbors. Jesus invites the oppressed and victimized people of Galilee to take care of one another and to create a community of blessing. That is how God's light will shine through them. God's ways are not like the ways of the world. God's power works through humble service and self-giving love. In his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul distinguishes between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of God is revealed by the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of the world is revealed by forces of oppression and cruelty. The wisdom of God seeks life for all people. The wisdom of the world seeks profit for a fortunate few. The wisdom of God is expressed in the message of the cross, in the fact that God chose suffering and death to bring life to us. Paul says that when he worked in Corinth, he was guided by the wisdom of God, a wisdom demonstrated with humility and even weakness so that God's strength can be revealed. He doesn't want people's faith to be based on the power of words, but on the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. It is that Spirit that has given Paul and the other apostles a divine wisdom that reveals the mysteries of God. Paul says that the rulers of this age crucified Jesus because they rejected God's wisdom. By rulers of this age, he doesn't mean the Roman Empire. He means anyone who champions the values of power, oppression, violence, and hatred. Jesus continues to be crucified by the rulers of this age, but all of their acts of evil will come to an end. God's love will endure for eternity, offering us blessings beyond our imagination, what eye has not seen nor ear heard. The prophet Isaiah ridicules his own people for claiming to be a nation that practices righteousness. Near the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus will pronounce divine judgment on those who cannot see him in the weakest and most vulnerable of their neighbors. Our nation's economic policies and immigration crackdowns are being driven by a corruption of religion that is called Christian nationalism. It is in no way Christian, and it doesn't serve the values of our nation. It serves the ambition of rich white men. Even as their streets are being torn apart, the people of Minneapolis are seeking God by seeking justice for all of their neighbors. They are the repairer of streets to live in. If the rest of us want to be called a nation that practices righteousness, we must loose the bonds of injustice that hinder people in our own nation and throughout the world. We must share our abundance of bread with all who are starving. We must reject all speaking of evil and the pointing of fingers that tries to divide us into opposing camps. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." In the Gospel of Matthew, he says that we are. But our light will only rise when we reject the ways of the world and turn our eyes to the poor and the oppressed.